No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the late Thursday night, early Friday morning edition of the Yard. I got an ink therapy appointment today, so I didn't want to delay. And you know, you never know what the day is going to bring. This is the only time the phone's not ringing. True story. I mean, you guys hear it sometimes in the show, but this time of year, it's absolutely frenetic. It's almost like having a coaching search, because you're constantly on the phone, working sources, talking to people, trying to get information, trying to find out who's going to visit Mississippi State, who's seriously considering Mississippi State. I don't just rely on Twitter for information. I know some do. But it's a lot of work to bring you guys information, and it has been crazier. Guys, we're 4 days into portal season, and I can tell you things have changed dramatically this year compared to last year. I'm going to spend the first part of the show kind of detailing that out as best I can, because there's some things that are going on that are perfectly legal that I don't think most fans know. And one of the things that I say on this show from time to time is that I love all of you, but some of you make my head hurt. And so I'm going to do my best to kind of educate, entertain, and inform today, to give you a better understanding and perhaps give me a bit of a break from some of that. So if you can disseminate some of this information out, it would be great, great. We got a lot to discuss today, and we'll get updated on some of the portal prospects that have visited, some that we're expecting to visit, some that may not visit. And we're going to share with you what we can about that. And things change rapidly. I was speaking with an agent, and it's crazy to have to do that, right? These high school players, you know, you kind of get to know them before they kind of, people get their hooks in them a little bit. And that's not to say that everybody's unscrupulous. I'm not suggesting that. There are a lot of licensed agents out there that are doing a really good job and kind of positioning themselves to be in a position to represent these young people if they have the opportunity to turn pro. That's maybe a good thing. The flip side of it is you know, there's more money to be had than ever before. And so I talked to an agent on Thursday that a friend of mine put me on and said, hey, he's repping a couple of kids that Mississippi State is on. And he shared with me a list of schools that he felt pretty confident that his client was going to visit and consider. And then the next time I talked to him, about 7 hours later, the list had changed. In less than 12 hours, the list of favorites changed. And the three schools that were in it in the morning were no longer in it in the afternoon. It's crazy. And it's for everybody. It's not just us in the media. I mean, we're just kind of in a spectator role in trying to get you guys information. I know everybody works hard. I'm not in any way trying to suggest that everybody's not working hard. They are. The agents are out there working hard too, try to get the best deal for their clients, which in turn gets them the best deal and a higher commission. That's how the world works. But I thought about this today when I was driving home from, you know, College Corner there in Ridgeland. We had a really good sounding there. Appreciate everybody that came out there. And but I can't begin to manage the level of frustration that college football coaches around the country must feel navigating through this labyrinth of the Wild Wild West. As I shared with you guys yesterday, you know, about a player that we had on our team that, hey, everything is good. Everything's good to go. And we think we have everything in place. And then the next day or day after, we get a phone call. It's like, hey, if you guys don't double as NIL, we're going to the portal. I know you got money to spend, and you have to spend it. And so we want our share. So this is a guy you thought you could count on. And he looks you in the eye, says, hey, coach, things are great. I'm going to work on this. I'm not going to go in the portal. And then less than 40 hours later, you're having to write a bigger check, you know, for a guy that told you he was good. And that's not to say that the kid was being disingenuous. And a lot of these kids, they're fine, right? And but there's people out there that are, quote, looking out for their best interest, that want to make sure that they get as big a share of the pie as they can possibly get. I know many of you are incredibly frustrated. There is a ton of fan fatigue right now. But let me remind you, this is a new era. There will be a stabilization at some point. We're not there. We're not even close. But there will be some corrective measures that are taken that kind of give a little more structure to all of this. And really the fact that we have licensed agents involved now is important too. There's some other people out there that are kind of involved that are basically, you know, kind of hangers on. You know, just trying to exploit these kids. Hey, I want 10%, and I'm going to send 20 emails. You know, I'll send out a couple texts for you, but give me 10% of everything you have, you know. And that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you understand what I'm saying. And so I want to break some things down for you today, and some of it is going to make you a little bit uncomfortable. And I was speaking to a Mississippi State administrator earlier today, and we're in the middle of having this conversation, and they're like, can you believe we're even talking this way? I'm like, no. We didn't talk this way 12 months ago. We certainly didn't talk this way 5 years ago. But it's like, hey, well, this is how much money this guy's want. It almost makes you wince, right? Because it reminds me, you know, those kids that had their hands out, you know, back when the dark money days. And now that it's all legal and people don't have to worry about losing their eligibility and schools don't have to worry about getting put on NCAA probation for this kind of stuff, it is rampant. And it has changed the absolute culture of recruiting. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. And I love them. And again, this weekend, I plan to partake in some Bulldog Burger Company. It's been a little bit too long. I've been on the road a lot lately. And that's what happens. You know, you're like, oh, I'm home. Let's just grab something quick. And you're kind of eating for survival rather than eating for enjoyment. When I want to eat for enjoyment, Bulldog Burger Company is at or near the top of my list. Because there is a consistency there in quality of service, quality of food, quality of atmosphere. I love it. I do. I've loved it since the beginning. From the very first time that I went in there and put my feet under their table, I said, you know what? This place is going to make it. They've kind of got it figured out. No surprise, this Bulldog Burger Company is part of the Eat With Us group that has served the Golden Triangle for so many years. Right? They know how to feed folks. So next time you're in town, be sure and go by and check them out. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Start Vegas, Gloucester Street in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. As I say, when you're in town or on the way to town, there's a good chance you're going to pass by a Bulldog Burger Company on the way. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. I'm kind of craving that smokehouse again, not going to lie. It's going to be smokehouse or Pimentology ad bacon. Not sure which, but I'm going to enjoy myself, and you will too. And planning on getting that Nutella shake for the ride home. It's true. Yeah, you guys have all told me, hey, Steve, you lost a lot of weight. I really hadn't. I'm down 2 pounds over last year. Went for my annual checkup a couple days ago. I'm just eating a little bit cleaner. But sometimes you got to take a break. Enjoy life a little bit, right? And that's when I go to Bulldog Burger Company, I enjoy myself, whether it be the BLT salad, which is always a great healthy option, or the fact sometimes I just want to go in there and throw down, man. And that's the case for you too. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Here is the thing that I'm learning, okay? And it's changed so dramatically in 12 months. Well, Steve, why has it changed? Well, because now the rev share is coming. They're going to vote on that in April, and it's going to kick in June. But you're having to already kind of negotiate those deals. What's my share of the revenue? What percentage do I get? What amount should I get? Listen, I understand it's not going to kick in until June, but I got to know now. And so there are some players out there that have a very hefty price tag. And you got some other schools out there that are paying a signing bonus and then a retention bonus after spring football. So it's like, okay, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars to sign now, and we're going to go ahead and commit to this retention bonus. And if you're still on the team after the spring, we're going to pay you that. And then in June, your revenue share is going to kick in. And so administrators are having to kind of negotiate these deals. And to be honest with you, they're not really equipped for that. They're not educated for that. That's why a guy like Charlie Winfield is so important in our operation. This is a guy that's an attorney. You know, a guy that's had to negotiate settlements and contracts and things of that nature. I don't know where we would be without Charlie Winfield, right? He's in a completely different role before. I mean, he was doing some of this, but the fundraising segment of this has been changed, and my hope is maybe it makes the load a little lighter on the shoulders of one Charlie Winfield. But all of this is having to be established, and guys, it's not happening on the visit. In many cases, it's happening prior to the visit. Now, there are some guys, it's a little different, right? But these guys that are high-value targets in a transfer portal, they're not even going to visit your school unless there is already a tentative agreement in place. Hey, this is my asking price, and if you're not willing to meet that, we're not even going to visit. Not even going to visit. You know, I won't mention a name, but I'll give you an example, and it's a Mississippi kid that you guys can kind of do the math on. I'm not going to say the name. But nevertheless, this player, on Monday, as the portal opens, he's like, yeah, I'm really interested in Mississippi State, really interested in Mississippi State. By the end of the day, it's done. By the end of the day, he's like, nah, I'm not interested in Mississippi State anymore. Well, do you mind if I ask why? What's kind of changed? Well, I've got some people out here that are willing to pay me this and buy me this and give me that and give me this and everything else. And, there's schools out here with bigger budgets than Mississippi State, and so the rev share is going to be bigger. And you're like, well, how do we compete? Well, the thing we do is we can get creative. But it's one of those things that's kind of incredible to me that in 12 hours' time, a young man can say, hey, I'm excited about this school, and then like, nope, I'm not going to do that. Now, you got to think, too, if you're Mississippi State, because here's the way this thing works. And I know it's complicated, so I'm going to try to explain it in detail without being too laborious in our language. So let's say, for an example, that Mississippi State, we're going to use good round numbers here to keep it simple. Let's say that our budget athletically our revenue is $100,000. I mean, $100 million, and it is. It's more, but all right, so let's take a look at that. Let's say us or whoever that we've got $100 million to work with. So that would mean, okay, so let's say that the settlement figure comes in at 25%. Well, that's $25 million. Well, let's say that a school in Texas has a $200 million budget to work with. Well, the percentage still applies. So now that's $50 million. So we talk about, you know, leveling the playing field. That's not level at all. Because they have a higher amount of revenue to work with, the percentage goes up. So they've got more money that not only that they can spend, they have to spend. This is not the law of the land, or will be shortly. It's not like you can say, well, hey, the budget says we've got to spend $50 million. We'll spend $35 million and we'll pocket the other $15. No, that would not be in accordance with the House settlement deal. It has changed the dynamics of college athletics forever. And so when you start thinking about this aspect of it and say, you know what, hey, maybe we were a little slow out of the gate with NIL. Maybe we were a little bit naive. And some other people got a quicker start. Well, then Charlie Winfield gets involved. And we begin to kind of get caught up. We have people out there fundraising for us and picking up million-dollar checks. And next thing you know, we're kind of middle of the pack in the SEC. All right, that's great, right? And so you think, hey, when this rev share thing comes along, then we'll all have more money to work with. Well, here's what's happened. All it's done is just raise the asking price. You're not really gaining any ground. You got to be smart with your money. But it's not a situation where all of a sudden, okay, everybody's got the same purse to pull from. It's not true. It's not equitable. You can say, well, you know, a place like Texas, you know, the largest budget in all of college football, you know, they're investing so much, so they get to spend more. And so here's the thing about that. Let's say, for an example, we've got $25 million, they've got $50 million. Who do you think will construct a better roster? Well, you don't have to be, you know, an analyst to figure that out. And so there has got to be some parameters put in place. Well, there will ultimately be some type of salary cap. Now, so when you see one of these high-profile portal targets and they're visiting a school, you can rest assured that that school has already put together an agreement of sorts with the agent that, yes, if he chooses our school, we will meet his asking price. Does that make sense? Because why else would he visit? If you didn't have an assurance up front and you've got basically 3 weeks to make a decision, you're not going to waste a day or a trip or 2 days to go somewhere to meet with a school that can't meet your demands financially before you even get on a plane. It's like, hey, if I want $750,000 and this school is only going to give me $200,000, why in the world would I ever visit there? No, I'm only going to go visit the schools that are going to give me $750,000 if that's the asking price. And so when you see these high-value targets set these visits, it is reasonable to assume that there is a deal in place already. Doesn't mean they're going to go there. It just means in the event they go there, that the money that that player is demanding or commanding is going to be filled. And then people begin to wonder, hey, what's fair market value? Nobody can keep up with that, because the market continues to change. And as we get deeper into the portal season, and trust me, there's some agents out there that are telling people, let's wait it out. If you've got juice, right, let's wait it out, because you know, you may have a school right now willing to pay you $400,000 because you're, you know, a really good defensive tackle. Well, if you wait this thing out, because that is a luxury position, there are going to be teams that strike out with other prospects. They're going to get a little more desperate. And so now they may pay you $400,000 today, but come December 28th, they may pay you $800,000. And again, it just feels like absolute insanity to have these discussions about college athletes. And guys, this is for a year. Many of these players have 1 year of eligibility left. And so, hey, they're going to make $400,000 to $500,000 to go play a game. Not to mention the fact, too, that the NIL deal and the rev share deal is not a pay-for-play deal. And so in the event Yeah, of course, there's some parameters in the contract. I mean, if you go out there and you act like an idiot and get yourself in trouble and get suspended or arrested or something like that, there will be an interruption of funds and a reduction of benefits as part of the contract. But let's say, you know, a guy signs a big deal and then gets hurt. And maybe it's not a season-ending injury, but maybe it's just something that kind of lags throughout the year and you don't get to play at your full potential. Well, there's nothing in there that's going to prevent that guy from getting paid. And so that's one of the things that I think about. If you have some of these guys that maybe are not NFL prospects, maybe they think they are, and they kind of recognize it ain't going to work out for me, you know, how many of those injuries are going to become, you know, season lingering issues because I really don't have to go do much and the money continues to show up? And again, I don't know what type of financial planning they're doing or who's in place and who's kind of making sure that we're leading these kids in the right direction. If you thought you saw a bunch of wild, exotic trips on Instagram and on social media for your favorite student athletes in the last year, just wait until this new spring break. You'll have people going to Rio. You know, everybody used to get together and get five or six to a car and share two hotel room beds in Panama City and go to Club La Vila. You know, now they go to Rio de Janeiro and everybody stay in a suite. You know, it's incredible what's happening. A lot of people say, you know what, hey, Steve, I believe in a free market economy. I do too, but it's got to make sense. It's got to make sense. So that's an important aspect of this thing to understand. Now, used to, you know, you'd have the visit, and then after the visit was over, you know, the bag man or somebody would call your parents and say, hey, we got a red Nike duffel bag with $10,000 waiting for you guys after you sign. And everybody thought, hey, look at this. The kids of the day would laugh at that. You wouldn't even get them to get on a plane for $10,000, right? I mean, why would they? It's just a different dynamic these days. That's important to understand. So I don't know where we go with this, but we have to kind of get out here and tread water until these things kind of get corrected, because I don't know that we've really gained that much from rev share. I think it helps considerably, maybe in the equivalency sports, you know, because you got to take care of them too. You know, basically, that's a thing that I've said for a long time, and some people disagree with me, and that's perfectly okay. There was a lot of scholarship inequity in college athletics, and so we want, they're like, oh, NIL. And everybody wanted to throw more NIL money at players and student athletes that were already on full scholarship. And so now we're finally starting to get some headway where the equivalency sports are going to be more closer to fully funded. You know, so we don't have our favorite student athletes graduating, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 in debt, which is something that should have been done a long time ago. You know, it's like, hey, the ones that receive the most, we're going to continue to give more to. That'd make a lot of sense. So that aspect of it is interesting, right? Because you can't just give all your rev share to football. You can't just give all your rev share to men's basketball. There's a percentage, there's a formula in place, and that money will then be, you know, passed down to the coaches. And basically what we're going to see now, we're already starting to see it. I mean, you saw Bill Belichick has already hired a general manager at North Carolina. And you know, in the past, you have like a chief of staff, a director of player personnel. You're going to have somebody now. It's going to be a position basically at every school in the country that negotiates these deals. It's going to be general managers, you know, people that are part of this whole thing. Sitting down with people saying, okay, here's how we would compensate you and here's how much we would be willing to pay you. And then all of a sudden when, you know, a player gets gets your feelings hurt or whatever, I'm going to need some more money. I'm going to get in the portal. And that's the thing, too. Like, right now, everybody is held hostage other than the student athlete. You and I are held hostage. And, of course, it's a big boom for our business. You know, so I'll never look a gift horse in the mouth because you guys are hungry for information because you want to be like, Steve, what kind of team are we going to have next year? And at this point, I can't tell you. I can't. We're working through it together, and we're updating you as quickly as we can. But once the portal closes, then you can kind of start having a semblance, okay, well, this is what we're going to look like at least in the spring. And then you get through spring and get through the spring window, which is, again, is shorter this year. And it's a lot more difficult for guys to leave and find a good landing spot in the spring because a lot of scholarship spots have already been filled. There's not a lot of room unless there's like a guy, they have an outgoing player. You know, there's not as many scholarship opportunities in the spring. And teams are a little more reluctant to go sign a guy in the spring because they don't get the benefit of working within their system and culture during the spring. We were very fortunate. Davin Booth was a guy that came in June and really picked it up late. I began to ask myself, what if he had had the benefit of spring practice with Jeff Levy? You know, instead of it being, you know, game six or seven where he really takes off, maybe he does it earlier in the year. You know, not that we didn't get our value out of him, but I began to think about how much more valuable would he have been had he been able to come into spring practice.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Probably a lot more production. And so that's an aspect of this thing too. But, you know, right now, you got to love everybody. Because, you know, all of a sudden, and we've had this instance before too, we have had players, outgoing players, you know, we sit down, have a meeting with them, and say, okay, here is what we're willing to do. And then one guy whose name you know in the last few years, we told him how much we're willing to pay him. He goes back to the dormitory and tells three other players in his position group that we're actually offering him three times more than we did. Well, then his roommates all raise seven shades of unshirted hell. They go back after they've already agreed to NIL deals and like, hey, this isn't right. You guys were going to pay him this. And say, no, we weren't. Well, they didn't believe us. Because, you know, in their minds, they're not idiots. They know we're trying to sign them as cheaply as possible. Let's give them just enough that they're satisfied. Then you find out, hey, well, he's not going to stay, and you offered him X number of dollars. I want some of that money, too. And so that costs us some more money. You know, I go back, too. We talk about, and we had this discussion on the board, and somebody wanted a fence with me on the board. And I decided I'm done for the night on this. It's like the Saquon Miles and Tyler Lockhart deal, you know, the night before signing day. You know, we're actually fighting for our football lives in many respects. And, you know, of course, we had to negotiate a better deal. You know, Ole Miss basically came in late, and even though they didn't flip those players, they cost us money. It's the reality of it. And so when you start thinking about that aspect of it, how many people out there are willing to play some high-stakes poker? It's like, hey, we don't really want this kid, but we want to go run up our rival's budget. And we'll tell them, hey, we'll give you $500,000, and maybe Ole Miss was willing to pay $350,000. Well, then egos and optics get involved, and it's like, we can't lose this kid to Mississippi State. We can't go to our donors and say, hey, they outbid us for this player. But if we want to keep him, we got to come up with $600,000. How much of that is happening, and how much of that is going to happen in the years to come until we get our handle on this? And I'm told it may be 2028 before we do. Interesting, right? I mean, you never know what the world's going to hold for you. But it's incredible to think about the conversations that we're having today about college athletics. And listen, I see your comments. I do. I don't always respond. But, you know, and I the Facebook groups, I try to get in there and respond when I can. But things are moving so quickly right now. You know, when I do have opportunities to discuss things with you all, I do it here on the show or on the jeanspage.com message boards. If you have a question, come there. I'm more likely to see it. People tag me on Twitter. Sometimes I don't see it for hours later, and the moment has passed. But when I'm winding down at night, sometimes I'll log on to X, and I'll go back and answer your questions. I think it's important, too. I mean, I don't just want to be behind a paywall. There's sometimes I got to go out and answer some questions. And one of the things that I see, there's probably more misinformation in the Mississippi State Facebook groups than anywhere else. And I don't know why that is. I really don't. There's some very knowledgeable and very well-intended Bulldog posters in there. But we also have some of those people, too, get a little bit emotional and irrational at times. They're humans. And so next thing you know, it's like they make a comment and people say, hey, well, they're the leader of this group or they're the director of this group, so they must be in the know. And the truth of the matter is they're really not in the know. They just love Mississippi State and they like discussing Mississippi State, and they put a Facebook page together where they and their friends and some of you can kind of get in there and discuss Bulldog athletics. That's as simple as it is. But then all of a sudden, you know, we have one of the leaders of the group come out and say, I'm just sick of this. And then everybody else was like, you know what, I am too. I'm sick of this. And I'll be honest with you, I can't sit here and tell you when it's all going to be okay and when we're going to have a leveling of the playing field, because what we have now is not sustainable. And I can't even begin to imagine what it's going to look like in 2 years. But I know this. I know that Mississippi State is committed to doing what needs to be done to turn this football program around. I know this. I'm not guessing. I know this. We're committing more than we ever have. And I know one instance that popped up here in the last 24 hours. And, I was told that Zach Selman said, do what you got to do. You know, do what we need to do. Go make the deal. Do what we need to do. And I think you guys need to hear those sorts of things, because there's people out there that think, hey, we're still the old penny pinch in Mississippi State that has to sell our home games to keep the athletic department afloat. And that is simply not true. We're not being outbid for players. And I think sometimes people forget, we went 2-10 this year. And then some of the players that we were hoping to be here to kind of build around have left us. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating for us. Can you imagine how frustrating it is for Jeff Lebby and his staff? It's like, here I was, thought I had this guy to kind of count on. We felt really good about him, a guy that we have gotten out here and invested a year of our lives in, and then they're going to go somewhere else. You know, and I think about the Kevin Coleman thing, and I've seen some people say some things about him that really are kind of off base. You know, Kevin's a competitor, right? And I believe that Kevin is a good person. I do. And I know many of you feel betrayed. And you look at it and say, you know what? Hey, this is his fourth school in 4 years. You know, maybe that's a hint for us kind of moving forward. But you go out there now and you just try to get the best available players, because you're building a team. You're not building a program anymore. You're building a team, and you're going to readjust every December as guys leave and other guys become available. That's an important aspect of every bit of this, right? But a lot of people are saying, hey, Kevin's just looking for this and Kevin's looking for that. You know, Kevin's going home. And people say, well, you know, we should have been able to outbid them. You know, how many times in your own life have you taken a bit of a pay cut to be closer to family or to stay closer to family and turn down opportunities? I've turned down opportunities in my career because this is what I want to do. And this is home for me. And for many of these players, you know, they're looking for an opportunity. You know, Kevin Coleman signed with Jackson State and then didn't go to Colorado with Deion Sanders. You ever thought about that? He ends up going to Louisville. He comes here and his production triples. And I'm told he's still kind of torn on the whole thing. But there's a lot of people that said, hey, you know what, it's Mizzou, team you grew up cheering for, you're from St. Louis, family's just down the road. And people say, you know what, Steve, we should have overbid them. Whatever it took, we should have overbid them. And a lot of that, too, is because of how desperate we feel. You know, there's probably five players on this team I thought we absolutely needed to retain. He's one of them. And we didn't. And we have to accept that and kind of move forward. But the reality of it is there are going to be players that we love each and every year. They're going to leave us. That's what makes guys like Isaac Smith all the more special, right? You don't think Isaac Smith had people tampering with him? You don't think Isaac Smith had people telling him, hey, if you get in the portal, we can get you this, we can get you that? You know, Isaac Smith was on a 2-10 football team too, but Isaac Smith's a Mississippi guy that loves Mississippi State. He loves each and every one of you. He loves those cowbells, and he wants to be part of the turnaround. And those are the things you begin to think about too, like down the road, because not all these kids are going to go pro. I think Isaac Smith is a pro football player. But you know what? When Isaac Smith is done playing football, what you guys are going to remember is Isaac Smith stayed. Isaac Smith stood up for Mississippi State. And you know what? When he enters the working world, isn't that a guy you want to do business with? Isn't that a guy you want to hire? You know, not just because of the fact that he showed, you know what, some stick-to-itiveness and showed some character, but he was there through some difficult times at Mississippi State, and then by the time he left, he had things turned around. Just think, I mean, if this is a guy that works in retail, you know, maybe as a supervisor or a sales manager or a general manager, how many Mississippi State fans are going to say, hey, Isaac Smith is owns this car dealership, or Isaac Smith is a general manager here? Well, if I've got a decision to make, I think I'm going to go do business with him. Because when we were down, Isaac Smith stayed. Isaac Smith was true maroon. And, you know, maybe it runs too deep with me, but that matters to me. I like to do business with Bulldogs when I can. I do. And, you know, we've had some over the years that have left us and gone somewhere else. And, listen, I don't begrudge anybody the best opportunities that they can amass for themselves. But here is what I know. When given the choice to do business with a Bulldog or a non-Bulldog, I'm going to pick the Bulldog. Given the opportunity to make a hiring decision, I'm going to hire the Bulldog. I am. Because here's the thing that I've learned about that. And listen, I understand now there are financial ramifications in all of this. That makes it all the more impressive that people stay. It's like, hey, they could have left for more money, but they stayed. They could have left and been part of another organization and maybe even played for something more substantial than they'll play for here, but they stayed. Because they're one of us. You know, we talk about family, right? And it's kind of family with Dr. Evil quotes these days. But it makes you respect a guy like Isaac Smith that much more when you think about the opportunities that he had and could have had and said, you know what, I bleed maroon and white. I'm a Bulldog. It's refreshing to see that. He's not the only one. He's just the most visible one because he's one of the best defensive players in the country. And I respect it. I know you guys do too. And my hope is that's really where a lot of our focus will be kind of moving forward is on the guys that chose to be Bulldogs for life, not just for a season. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E. It's crazy. I'm looking, still looking at my phone. It's crazy all these calls I missed today. But it's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. You can get a hold of Blair directly at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. The reason you need to get a hold of him is because you need a mortgage guy in your life. And hopefully, if you're fortunate, you'll only have to buy a home once. I've had to do it three times. True story. Had to do it three times. I guess that's not really true, is it? Yeah, three times. But nevertheless, you never know when life's going to throw you a curveball. You know, maybe your family gets bigger and you've outgrown the house. Maybe you have a relationship change or a job change and you've got to relocate. Let Blair do some of the heavy lifting for you. He can make life a lot easier for you. 24 years of experience, get his know-how working for you. He will be your advocate with underwriting. So if you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is the way to go. A Bulldog through and through. Season ticket holder in multiple sports. It's a place here in town. You're doing business with family, and he will treat you like family. That's Blair Chandler. Again, 601-500-2344. Okay, excited about today's list. And this one hit me the other day. You know, for a while there, we did a series of great guitar players. And one of the guys that was on that list I didn't get to, and I recently listened to some of the musical stylings of Ritchie Blackmore. And Ritchie, a lot of people used to say Ritchie was in the Yardbirds. He wasn't. That was Jeff Beck. You know, Jeff was a big part of that. But Ritchie has written some of the most memorable riffs in the history of the world. It's true. Really made famous Deep Purple and Rainbow. And many of you say, you know, Steve, I'm maybe a little bit too young to appreciate those. Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to pick up the slack where your parents failed you. If you don't know Deep Purple and Rainbow, you should. So use today's list as a primer when it comes to cool, because Ritchie Blackmore was definitely cool. All right, let's start number 10. And we kind of alternated as I ran through this, kind of. But I wanted to start on a high note. And there's no pun intended there, because David Coverdale was the singer of Deep Purple at this time. This is, of course, a lot of changes were made in many of these bands. But probably one of the best David Coverdale songs, of course, Dave from Whitesnake, that you may not know, is Soldier of Fortune. It is an absolutely beautiful song. I have mentioned to some people close to me, I'd like it played at my funeral, even though I'm not a mercenary. But I absolutely love the vocal delivery on this, and I love the acoustic opening to the song. Absolutely love it, and you will too. All right, number 9, and this is a little bit off the beaten path, because Ritchie kind of put together kind of a Renaissance fair musical operation called Blackmore's Night. He's a female singer. He plays the mandolin sometimes too, and this is really kind of a fun song, but it's very different than everything else, and I wanted to work this in so we could talk about it, but Blackmore's Night's Under a Violet Moon. Under a Violet Moon. And so if you're one of those people that kind of gets into the Renaissance Fair and, you know, people dress up and have a good time. One of the girls that works at the gas station at Fast Break, she's a big cosplay person. They go around all these Renaissance Fairs. And I think it's cool, man. You can't take life too seriously. I'm not saying we should all, you know, go LARP or anything. But I've never done that. I don't know if I'd fit in or not. But, you know, like these people that get dressed and go to Comic-Con and places like that, you know. I don't know, but I think it's cool when people get dressed up and do cool stuff, you know. But you may like that one too. So if you're a Renaissance Fair person, Blackmore's Night may be for you. Okay, number 8, and Ronnie James Dio sang on this one. And you have to say Ronnie James Dio with a little grit in your voice. I love Ronnie James Dio. Absolutely love just about everything he's ever done. One of the best vocalists of my lifetime. And this is Ronnie's influence. You know, Ronnie was the guy that wrote a lot about fantasy. And I read something recently, too. You know, he was the guy, too, that actually wrote a lot about dreams and a lot about facing suffering in life and kind of gave us the strength to think that perhaps we could overcome. And so this one is kind of written in that fantastical sense. It's a great track called Kill the King from Rainbow. Kill the King. All right, number 7, going back to the Deep Purple days with Dave Coverdale. Had a chance to see this tour. David Coverdale and Whitesnake re-recorded some Deep Purple songs and called it the Purple Album. And it was some of the biggest hits of the Deep Purple era that Dave was a part of. And I think they open with this. It's Burn. If you were in Biloxi with us that night, maybe you've seen it. I know Ani and I went to 13 shows that year. At the end of the year, I said, "Who? What was your favorite show?" He said, "Daddy, it's Whitesnake. Those guys are real rock stars." And indeed, they are. But Burn from Deep Purple, number 7 on your list. Number 6, a song that Russ Ballard wrote. And you know, we did a top 10 list of songs that Russ wrote years ago. And many of them you knew, but you didn't know who wrote them. You didn't know the common denominator in those tracks. And a lot of different people have covered and recorded Russ's songs. This is one of them. Rainbow had a huge hit with Since You've Been Gone. A few other bands have covered that track. Nobody did it better than Richie and Rainbow. So again, Since You've Been Gone, number 6 on your list. Number 5, The Reunion. Ian Gillan came back to Deep Purple. This is after the Whitesnake years, you know, with after Dave left and was having great success at Whitesnake. So Ian Gillan got back. John Lord came back on the keys, which you couldn't have Deep Purple without John Lord, and God rest his soul. But Perfect Strangers was an amazing album, and it opens up with a 7-minute masterpiece, Knocking at Your Back Door. It's your number 5 track from Deep Purple, Knocking at Your Back Door. And I love the... you know, the guitar part in the beginning, right? It's not very 80s, but it's not so reminiscent of the 70s that it felt out of place at the time. Okay, number 5, again, a Rainbow track with Ronnie James Dio on vocals. Yeah, Jolynn Turner spent some time as the vocalist for Rainbow as well after Ronnie left and formed Dio. They said nobody ever left Rainbow. Yeah, Rainbow left them. Richie at times was kind of difficult to deal with. But a song that many of you know from watching the Mark Wahlberg movie Rockstar, when Mark went in to audition to be a part of Judas Priest, that was called Steel Dragon, that it's based on Ripper Owens' life. The guy that was there before Mark sang this track, Long Live Rock and Roll from Rainbow. It's a great track. And if I ever get behind the mic again, we're going to cover it. Rainbow's Long Live Rock and Roll. All right, number 3, going back to the late 60s, kind of a psychedelic push here. It's Highway Star from Deep Purple. It's a great driving song too. You know, the vocal's great on it. The guitar is even better. Absolutely love it. Now, these top 2, these are some of the best songs. And I would say number 2, that maybe many of you that are big fans of classic rock maybe don't know this song that well. I think it might actually be the best song in the Ronnie James Dio catalog, and it is certainly, in my estimation, the best song that Rainbow ever did. There is an incredible, incredible live version on YouTube. And if you're fans of this song, you should check it out. I think it was recorded in Munich. I think that's right. But it's Man on the Silver Mountain. The vocal on this is legendary. And again, you want the best of Ronnie James Dio? You know, the Dio's greatest hits album is called The Beast of Dio. Love it, man. I jammed it yesterday. But Man on a Silver Mountain from Rainbow, that's great. And again, the guitar part in that live version when Richie just gets a chance to create, it's just nuts. But number 1, and I saw an interview recently on Reels, you know, it's Facebook Reels. I could spend hours watching that stuff. Richie kind of confessed that this legendary riff that we all have known so well was basically a rip-off of Beethoven's Fifth. And that's played in fourths. It's Deep Purple's Smoke on the Water. Everybody knows it. You know, Beavis and Butthead made it famous for a new generation. Everybody knows Smoke on the Water. An amazing track. And again, what you know about it is how it starts. Most people don't even know the lyrics, but you just remember that incredible intro of Richie Blackmore kind of laying down what he confesses to was a ripoff of Beethoven. How nuts is that? Yeah. So that's your top 10 list for today. You know, top 10 Richie Blackmore tracks. Really kind of built around the hits, but also to some great guitar work. And I think you'll dig it. And again, Blackmore's Night may not be for everybody, but the pick work in that is pretty phenomenal. So be sure and check it out. I'm sure you'll enjoy the list. This is one of those songs. This is one of those lists too. You can just kind of put on and just kind of let it bathe over you. Just you can find the list on Spotify. under the handle Dogmatic 67, D-A-W-G-M-A-T-I-C 67, and find Roy on Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it these days, and you can at least see the list there if you're not a Spotify listener. I know many of you are. But just subscribe to Roy, and we'll keep some fresh tunes coming your way. And it's great to be able to kind of dig back into the repertoire of a legendary artist like Ritchie Blackmore. And so we'll be back on Monday with a fresh top 10 list. And you never know where things are going to go from there. So thanks, as always, for your support of the top 10 list. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart because I can take care of all the Bulldogs on my shopping list. Mom, I hate to alert you of this, but it is now December the 13th. You have 11 shopping days before Christmas. And I know many of you get together with friends and family prior to Christmas and you exchange gifts. So I don't mean to cause you alarm here, but the reality of it is you are going to have to get moving. Make life easier on yourself. Go by and see Campus Bookmart. You can go in there and spend a bunch of money and take care of a bunch of gifts without breaking the bank. If you can't make it to town and you'd like to support a local business, we always encourage that. You can visit Campus Bookmart online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. And that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you shipping, free shipping, and all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. I'm trying to make life easier on myself and grab a piece of paper here, and I think I've grabbed the wrong one. But I did some work today, and I didn't. So it's been a busy day. As you guys know, on Thursday morning, I got up and recorded the Midweek Boneyard because Wednesday was just so frenetic. And so we record that, and then I hightailed it to Ridgeland for the College Corner book signing. The next book signing will be this Sunday at Book Martin Cafe downtown in Starkville. And just so you guys know, too, it's not just me. I'm usually there during the holidays just to kind of make it easy on you guys. You know, basically during football season and through the holidays, I'm typically there. On Sundays, that is my home bookstore. But nevertheless, 11 to 3 this Sunday, and let me tell you who else is going to be there, just in case you don't know. So it's going to be me and Jake Kaiser, and that's, don't be fooled by that. That is a very talented female author. And then she's going to be signing Daffodil Hill, and she recently had a signing there. I didn't get a chance to meet her, but I was told it was very, very successful. And Carol Ann Gavin is going to be there as well. And a children's book that I'm not familiar with, but it's called Pooker Liker and the Pooker People. There you go. So if you're looking for some reading material, you can meet us on Sunday and get signed and personalized copies of those three works. 11 to 3 on Sunday, this 15th. So finished with the book signing, hightailed it back to town. I got caught up on the message boards and social media, and then I wrote an article that I did the research for this morning, had some friend help me kind of put this together, and then I put it in article form. And a lot of it is just kind of taking an inventory of who's in the portal for Mississippi State. And so we've had some contributors, and we've had a lot more non-contributors. And so I wanted to kind of go over this with you. You can read it in its entirety for free over at jeanspage.com. But again, there's all these people that kind of freak out. They see all these players go in the portal, and they panic because they love Mississippi State. But a lot of times, people don't do the research. You just know that a Mississippi State player is leaving. So I've saved you some time here. And looked up some snap counts for these players. So we're going to go over this. Jacoby Albert, that was the guy. He was a big-time recruit at a high school, signed with Kentucky. It didn't work at Kentucky. He transferred here. We were expecting some big things from him last year. He tears an ACL, misses the year, comes back not quite 100%, but played 65 snaps this year. He's played 82 snaps in his entire college career. 17 at Kentucky and 65 this year. And we wish him the best as he kind of moves forward. Offensive tackle Leon Bell, you may recall, was dismissed from the team early in the season. And he was a guy, if you recall, that had to do some extra work to get eligible out of junior college. You know, we had a scholarship open late. Mason Miller kind of pivoted to him because Mass kicks, you know what, right? This is a big, big, big physical guy. We got him in. Guys, he played 27 snaps last year, 39 this year. That's it. This is a guy that we thought, you know, had the potential to be a really big guy for us. All right, moving down alphabetically, Kevin Coleman, you already know what he's done for us. You understand how his production saw a really big uptick this year because of the fact that he was in a system, I think, that was more conducive to his skill set. He played 1,607 snaps so far in college in 3 years, nearly half of them at Mississippi State. It's one of those things, too, you sit him down and say, hey, look what we did for you compared to what Louisville did. But he's on the map now, you know, and again, a guy we wish we had back. Ty Cooper is a guy that I think really got kind of caught in all of the coaching change stuff. Because in many respects, we never were quite sure what he was. Coming out of Louisville High School, you know, he was the top-rated defensive end in the state. And a lot of people thought he was going to go to Ole Miss. State ultimately wins that battle. He signs in February, and he comes on and played a little bit, played his most extensive action this year. A total of 565 collegiate snaps, 305 came this year. And a lot of it, too, you're moving back to backer. You know, so it's like, okay, I come here, I'm going to be a defensive end, and he's behind some guys. And then we change concepts and we change schemes. Now we got to trim him up and put him at linebacker. And again, played a lot for us. Not a ton of production, but he did go out there and do the best he could. Mario Craver, we've documented that one, 379 snaps this year. And that, remember, he missed some time too. He had an injury, had a couple suspensions. And so I'm curious to see where Mario's going to land. And what I mean by that is just kind of talking to people in the industry, there doesn't appear to be quite as much interest in him as I think people expected. That doesn't mean it won't change, but I, you know, like it's a little like with Kevin Coleman, and I think it's going to be a quick thing, but Kevin Coleman's a guy too that if he was really open to a lot of opportunities, I think Kevin could have, you know, probably 20 offers by the end of the day. I don't think that's really been the case for Mario, and so that'll be interesting to watch, you know, as things kind of move forward, you know. You know, we were hopeful for him, and it just, you know, it's just one of those things. We're just going to have to kind of move forward. Linebacker Javay Gilmore, we talked about him recently, too. He was a highly recruited guy. You know, State beat LSU for him because LSU wanted him to play tight end, and maybe that would have been the smarter move, to play tight end there or here. In his 2 years on the field at Mississippi State, he just played 34 snaps, and 33 of them came this year. Now, this may have flown under your radar a little bit. Antonio Harmon didn't play this year. And he was the guy, if you remember, you know, when he was kind of coming up the pike there, there were some people that thought, hey, this guy's going to be a future NFL guy. And kind of the concern about him was foot speed. Big, physical receiver with a great catch radius, but is he a possession receiver? Is he a guy that can make plays down the field? Well, we ultimately kind of bulked him up and moved him to make a flex tight end out of him in the Kevin Barbet system. And he had had his best year as a college player in 2023. 330 snaps. Didn't play any this year. And, again, a good young man. Wish him the best. Wide receiver J.J. Harrell, a guy that our fans were very much endeared with because – of his commitment to Mississippi State last year and the things that he did to help keep this class together. And then he sees four freshmen play in front of him. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's like, you know, you show up to play, and when you feel like maybe you've lost favor with your position coach or your offensive coordinator or whoever, you start thinking, hey, they played four freshmen in front of me, and I was the guy that was kind of the mayor and captain of this class. Maybe they owe me a little something. Maybe they do. Right? But J.J. was a little bit banged up in the spring, didn't get on the field. I think a lot of J.J. as a person And I think I saw that he's visiting Wisconsin soon. I have no doubt that he will land somewhere in the Power 5. I just hope we don't have to play against him. That's my feeling. Tobias Senton, we discussed him the other day, was here and never played. Never played, it's not even on special teams. Corner Radar Jones, that's another one that a lot of people were really excited about. You know, my concern was always with him is that if he wasn't playing a lot at LSU, why would he play a lot here? And you can say, well, Steve, LSU is DBU. They're always loaded in the secondary. And you think, okay, well, they, you know, if Corey Raymond evaluated him and took him, then maybe it's worth taking a chance on. He's played 152 snaps in college, and only 20 of those happened at Mississippi State. So we got 20 snaps out of him. And he was part of that, you know, that portal class that people were really excited about, you know, with the corners, and we just didn't get much value. Now, kind of quietly, Chris Keys played 169 snaps this year, 104 last year. And as I said the other day, we don't beat Arizona in Starkville without Chris Keys, because Chris made a touchdown-saving play to deny them a touchdown. And he played a lot of special teams this year, but he just wasn't around the action much. He's got 478 snaps in his college career, 273 of those are at Mississippi State. Chris, a guy from South Mississippi, wish him the best. But when we signed him, we thought he would be more of an impact player. But again, I think, you know, when we're changing so much defensively year to year to year, some of these guys don't find a positional home. All right, Kevon Lee, of course, he was injured in the Florida game, only played 90 snaps. And I'll be honest with you, when they named him RB1, I was surprised. A couple reasons why. I thought Kevon always ran high, and I didn't think he was explosive enough. Now, he had a couple of, you know, big inspired runs this year, and I think maybe, you know, Tucker and Levy had kind of, you know, put some, instilled some confidence in him. It's like, hey, you played a ton of snaps at Penn State. You probably have been underutilized here. We're going to give you a chance, big guy, to go carry the mail. And I'd be interested to see, you know, what would have happened with Kevon had he not been injured, and what would that have meant for the Bulldog running game throughout the year if you'd have had him available. But, you know, now he's back in the portal again after transferring in from Penn State. Linebacker John Lewis, you know, went to media days for State, and his production was down and his snap count was down year to year. In 2023, he played 212 snaps. This year, just 134. And again, this is a guy you brought to SEC media days. You expected him to be a big part of your defense, and ultimately, he was not. This is a guy, too, that kind of made himself as a senior at Germantown High School. And people were like, I don't understand why everybody hadn't offered him. State wins a big battle over Ole Miss late. Even some national, some quote, national experts that people really respect forecasted him to go to Ole Miss. And I would say, you know what, when your source is the Ole Miss staff, that's not always going to work out in your favor. Defensive tackle Gabe Moore, we broke that story early in the year. He had to sit out the year for a medical ailment not related to football. He redshirted last year. So, again, we signed him out of Louisville High School, and we never get a snap out of him. Trent Hudson, you know, he redshirted this year, opted out. And remember, he was listed as wide receiver one. I remember having a discussion with Matt Wyatt about him. And we talked about, you know, he's a big physical guy, could elevate a little bit. We thought he may be a guy that could make some plays outside the numbers. A lot of the discussion about Trent, too, you may recall he had some family members, you know, that were really kind of disenchanted with his lack of playing time. Guys, he only had 14 plays this year. And so my thing is, number one, do you blame him? But number two, you know, maybe we misevaluated that. You know, maybe he wasn't exactly what we needed. And maybe you're just like, hey, we'll take him, we'll figure it out. And it's never worked out. Chris Parson, we talked about him, the last quarterback Mike Leach ever committed. 18 snaps this year. And, of course, some of those were at Texas. You know, and Levy said, you know, we want to keep Chris engaged and give him an opportunity to make an impact on the game. But we never really went back to that. You know, he didn't get a lot of reps this year. After the Texas game, which was a little bit of a surprise to me. I thought, you know, hey, maybe we have him in the quarterback run situation and let him throw it a little bit. We didn't want to turn it into a Mike Wright thing. But maybe it gives him an opportunity to kind of remain engaged, but also, too, kind of keep him fresh and maybe save some wear and tear on Michael Van Buren. Running back Jeff Pittman, of course, was not with us. We found that out, the opening press conference of the season, that Jeff was not with the team. And he was a guy, probably the running back that you all were most excited to see returning from last year's team. 244 snaps in 2023. Significantly more playing time and opportunities than Kevon Lee. And then Kevon Lee wins the running back room. And I remember asking Levy back in the spring, because we got to get better in that room. Of course, when Davin Booth got there and Johnny Daniels kind of got up to speed, we did see some production from those guys. But again, you think about this running game without Jeffrey Pittman, without Kevon Lee, your top two returners from a season ago. And then we wonder, right? And then, of course, your leading rusher doesn't get here until June. And so you start looking at the pathology of the season and you can see where a lot of things went poorly. Cornerback Bryce Pollock, there was a story out there about he may be going to Michigan, and Bryce told the guy he needed to get better sources. Bryce, honestly, on the defensive side of the ball, without question, the most significant loss we had. Guys, he played more snaps than any transfer on the Bulldog roster. Now, granted, we played a lot more defensive snaps than we did offensively, but 720 snaps this year. Nuts, man. He's in 2 years, he almost has 1,000 snaps. And so, yeah, that guy's already played a lot of football. You wish that he would have stayed here. He didn't always grade out maybe the way you wanted to, but the kid played hard. And, again, you hate it, but the reality of it is he's made a decision to move on. Offensive lineman McCalen Pounders, I wish this story had a happier ending. Because you remember what happened with Ole Miss, and they drop him at the last minute. He ends up having to go to Memphis. He comes in. I still think he probably would have played better at guard for us. But he's moving on. And I think a lot of it is, you lose your job to a true freshman, which he did. I mean, Luke Work would not have been pressed into service if McCalen Pounders had held down left tackle spot. That's not that I don't think McCalen could have helped us somewhere else. McCalen graded out really well at left tackle at Memphis. Of course, this is a much different league, but I still think there was some potential there with him. But, over 1,450 snaps at the college level, 574 this year at Mississippi State. We talked about Radar Jones earlier. Kamari Rogers was part of that portal class. People are really excited about that. Two former four-stars from Mississippi coming home. He played 43 snaps this year, and I don't believe any of them were on defense. We checked on this and researched it. Looks like it's all special teams. And again, I think the whole situation with Kamari, it's so difficult to come back from an ACL injury, and he had two of them. It's tough, man. And I like Kamari, and I think his dad is an outstanding coach, an outstanding person, and I wish things would have worked out better. Certainly. Certainly do. Linebacker Marcus Rossman was a late signee last year and has played in four plays this year. That's it. We needed linebackers, needed to go get better on defense, get more athletes. And I'm told Marcus Ross wanted to stay. But if he's only going to give you four snaps, why would you bring him back, right? And, I mean, it's cruel, but it's fair, right? What if he plays again this year and rides the scholarship roles and only gets a handful of plays? That's not fair to him or to us. Offensive tackle Amari Smith, that was a big recruiting win that we won, again, late over Ole Miss, and never played it down here at Mississippi State. Big physical guy. He was a guy that was very well thought of at Brookhaven High School. He was a guy, too, that was like a class favorite, and he was very involved in the community there at Brookhaven, and it just never translated to any playing time here. Defensive tackle Eric Taylor, another guy that wasn't on the team this year. Played a good bit for us last year in the rotation, but never really lived up to his hype here or at LSU. He was at LSU no time and then enrolls in Southwest Mississippi, comes up here. It takes a while to get into rotation and really kind of get in there by injury, right? I mean, and that's another thing, too. You start thinking about, we talk about how porous we were at times on the interior defensive line. But think about this for a second. Okay, you don't have Eric Taylor and you don't have Gabe Moore at all. Then you lose Dinkins in game one for the second straight year. And then you go out and you get Kedrick Bingley-Jones, and he gets banged up and is lost for the year too. And so essentially, you know, a big part of your rotation is gone. Why do you think Kyle McClendon had to play this year? You know, you go get Pac as a depth piece, and then at times you had to play them side by side. And then Corey Clark, you know, a guy that was available this summer out of JUCO. And we add him, and then he ends up having to play significant snaps. If we talk about talent, I mean, some of the talent that we thought we had ended up, due to medical issues, not even being able to be on the field. And again, you know, you start working through this, Moore, no snaps, Taylor, no snaps, and you lose Dink in game one. That's three guys. So, yeah, you're going to be thin at defensive tackle. Truly. And, of course, Michael Van Buren. What else can we say about Mike? You know, 559 snaps this year. Had to play before he was ready, but did his best to rise to the challenge and gave us some big moments. But you win one game as a starter against UMass. You know, and some of those two aren't on him. Some of those are on the defense. But I still go back to the Egg Bowl. You know, we had plenty of opportunities to win that game. And the blame for that really, you know, rides on the offense. Wide receiver Creed Whittemore, a fan favorite. Last year played 181 snaps. This year just 92. He opts out, takes a redshirt year. And I'll be honest with you, you know, my honest opinion about that now that we've seen it kind of play out, and I kind of talked about it a little bit too, and this is not necessarily directed at Creed, even though he's kind of encapsulated in that group. My attitude moving forward, if I am running this football program, is you were either in or out, period. You're either committed to Mississippi State football or you're not. If you're not here to help us win games, I just think you're a walking distraction to the guys that are. And not to mention, all of a sudden, I think it provides one of those things too where it puts the idea in some other guys' heads, well, what am I here? You know, maybe I just ought to opt out too. And I'll see if I can't go somewhere else next year. You know, that's my feeling. I think moving forward, you absolutely can't do it. And I don't know all the legalities behind all this stuff, and so maybe I'm wrong, but I would not allow people access to the facility if you're not part of Mississippi State football. Right? Let's say, for an example, like if we dismiss a kid, they remain on scholarship the rest of the year. Okay? That they may be kicked off the football team, but not out of school. So they remain on scholarship, they finish up the semester, and hopefully they leave in good academic standing, put themselves in a position to land somewhere else. Cool. But the reality of that is, if you've got other guys out there that quit, and we can put whatever fancy label we want on it, well, they opted out. No, they quit. They quit. So if you quit, you got to quit. And, you know, maybe we were under the, you know, the thought that maybe if he hung around long enough, maybe he just comes back. Maybe he's like, hey, coach, I don't want to wait. Let me take a redshirt year, get my redshirt year back, and I'll be good to go next year. I mean, I'm behind some guys now, and I'll go prove it to you on the scout team. Maybe those conversations were had, but I will be honest with you, if it was my call moving forward, I absolutely would not let a player dictate to me that, hey, I'm going to continue to stay on scholarship, I'm going to continue to use the facility, and I'm going to eat the food here, but I'm not going to contribute on the football team. There is no way I would agree to that arrangement. Again, I don't know all the discussions that happened between Jeff Lebby and Creed Whittemore. Don't know. I don't. And I'm not necessarily – it sounds like I'm beating up Creed. I mean, Trent Hudson was in the same boat, right? But my point with all of that is I just don't think it's good for the team. That's my feeling. No matter who they are, where they're from, you're in or you're out. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We love the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We can't wait to stay there here in a couple weeks. Looking forward to that. My wife and I talked about it this morning and said, you know what? I'm excited about this. I'm more excited about this than I am Christmas. I've shared that with you guys before because Christmas around here is going to pretty much just be a regular day. Truly, because we don't have any kids at home. We're going to do our gift exchange when we have the Stark Vegas Clubhouse to ourselves. That's going to be fun. We'll probably get together and go eat with the kids, go eat some Asian cuisine somewhere. But we're looking forward to going to the Stark Vegas Clubhouse because everybody, for at least a couple nights, will be under one roof. It'll be like old times, except we won't have to prepare the house, right? You know what I'm saying? Because you know how it is. Oh, we got company coming. Oh, everybody's got to clean up, you know. I don't know what your standard of living is, but I don't do a lot of entertaining around here. It's just me and the dogs 90% of the time. But I'm looking forward to going and staying. And you know, maybe we use that full-service kitchen. Maybe we order out. I won't be using the wet bar, but some of the people in the family may. I know that we're going to use the fire pit area and that nice back porch area. 5 soon-to-be 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, great living area. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. There's no better place to stay in the Golden Triangle. So when you're thinking about getting a large group together, whether it be a college roommates weekend, maybe a girls weekend, a guys weekend, neatly tucked away, man, just 5 minutes away, and it's well off the highway, not much noise out there, plenty of parking. You can just kind of enjoy being with your friends and family and not have a lot of intrusion. Nothing could be better than that. It's the old renovated clubhouse at the old country club. It is a remarkable facility. Google their Facebook. Just put Stark Vegas Clubhouse in your search browser, your window, and their Facebook page will auto-populate, and then you can see all the amenities available to you and your guest. And also some booking options are going to come up, Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. Use promo code BSR10, that's BSR10, the number 10, and get 10% off your stay. How great is that? All right, let's talk a little bit about the visitors that wrapped up their visit today. And I'll kind of tell you what I think is going to happen with these guys. And we'll talk about some visitors coming in for the weekend. So West Georgia transfer Malik Charles was in. And he had a good visit. He did. I think that he is probably a guy that you kind of follow for now. And what I mean by that is I think there are probably enough options out there that you don't have to rush this process. Because you and I both know how absolutely instrumental the portal is going to have to be for us to rebuild this defensive line. I don't think you panic and take guys just to take guys because you don't want to be back in the same situation. And Malik may be a great player. Maybe. This is a guy that played junior college, UNA, and then played at West Georgia. You know, so he hadn't played much in the way of Division I football. He is going to be going up against some war daddies in this league that have. And so I don't think you rush that one. I do think that he is a guy that maybe in a week or so, that if you decide, hey, you know what, we don't kind of like the temperature of things, we're going to go get him. I don't believe he's quite as big as listed. Watching him on film, he looks a little padded up to me, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I just don't know. Kind of the same thing with Chris Murray here. And I actually like Chris Murray a little bit better. Chris Murray was a TCU signee and transferred to Sam Houston, trying to get back to the Power 4 level. But he's not quite as big as listed. Like, I saw he was listed like 6'4", 255. It's closer to 6'2". But that's not to say that you don't make a move with him, if that makes sense. I don't think there's any question about that. I think that's one of those guys, again, I think if you, when you think about all the guys that we got to get, and all of the players that they're going to be required for us to kind of make the move here, you know, maybe you cycle back to him. Now, one of the guys that's very intriguing to me, and I think he's going to ultimately end up being a bulldog when it's all said and done. And we had a chance to speak with him today. I told you guys I was going to be on the road, so the staff would take care of that. So, Nevaeh Sanders. Now, kind of an intriguing guy. And here's the thing. I told you about snap counts and things like that. That's one good thing I like about Pro Football Focus is you can get kind of some obscure things. And what I mean by that is, like, his pressures, the percentage of pressures to snaps is ridiculous. Like we talk about, we've got to improve in the pass rush. I mean, you guys saw it this year. And it's like we can't even really evaluate the secondary because we were so bad at getting to the quarterback. But Nevaeh Sanders is one of these guys you look at it and it's just like, you know, he's not the biggest guy. You know, he's like 6'4", 220. And so he's not going to be an every down player. He's going to be a guy that you bring on the field in obvious passing down, second and third and long and things like that. And you need a guy to get out there and move the quarterback off the spot, right? That's it. We got to influence the quarterback. Have to influence the quarterback. And I share that just because it's not always about getting the sack. It's about getting guys to throw errant passes, to rush their delivery a little bit. You have to influence the quarterback, and we absolutely struggle to do that this year. One of our subscribers looked up these numbers, and I wanted to share them with you. So Sanders last year at Northern Illinois, and I have no clue why I didn't use him more, 67 pass rush snaps. Let's think about this. In those 67, he had 12 pressures, 4 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, and 5 hurries. That is a ridiculous percentage. Ridiculous percentage. It's nuts. And I understand, too, he's a guy, too, that loves playing special teams. He'll go down there and blow somebody up. And I like guys that want to play special teams. I like guys that say, you know what, I'm a team guy. I want to do what it takes to help this team win. And so that's an important aspect of it, right? I mean, you want team-first guys. Those are the guys that you build a locker room around. Those are the guys that you get excited about. Those are guys that win you football games. This is a guy from DeKalb, Illinois. Again, he went to Council Bluffs, went to Iowa Western, and found his way to Northern Illinois, and now here we are, you know. But I like what I've seen from him. If you watch his film, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's Montez Sweat, but he's got a similar build. He's not nearly as explosive, but he is a guy that is an incredible first step. Landon Watson also came in from Marshall. I love his tape. Love his tape. He left here, immediately went to Kentucky. See, one thing that I was told is that he may not be ready for spring. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but like if he is not going to be ready for spring for one reason or another, and typically when people say that, it makes me think they're dinged up a little bit, but not going to be ready for spring, and so I don't know if that helps us. So we got to go get guys that can help us and get on the field and kind of adopt what we're doing. Travion Barnes from Florida International actually showed up today for his visit. We had some communication with them and found out that the visit got pushed back a day due to travel concerns or whatever. But Travion Barnes, another intriguing guy. And I don't know if you guys have done your research. I try to keep you guys up to date as best I can over at jeanspage.com. Try to make sure that you guys kind of know who's coming in and, you know, what the probability of those guys being part of the program are. But if you have looked at the video of this young man that's out there, he's a guy that can really, really play. And not the long, lean linebacker. He's 6 foot, 224. But he kind of looks like that, you know, that beefy Mike a little bit. You know, a guy that'll get out there, JUCO guy, played at Georgia military, and then made the move to FIU, and he's got a year of eligibility left. He was a fourth-team All-CUSA selection this year, a native of Apopka, Florida, played in 11 games this year, and had 129 tackles. 129. It's nuts, man. 10.5 TFLs, 3 sacks, 2 picks, a couple of pass deflections, a fumble recovery, and a touchdown on a pick six. It's nuts, man. But again, you look at these numbers and you think, you know, hey, we've had some linebackers leave. We just kind of went over those guys that really didn't give us much in the way of production. And some of them weren't given an opportunity. But you've got to earn playing time in practice. And I got a guy out here that's got almost 130 tackles available to me. Guys, I got to make a move. I've got to make that move. You know, we need production at linebacker. And this was not a good FIU team. But you go back and look here, they played at Indiana. You know, Indiana's in the playoff. You know, and then I look at some of these other teams they played too. I mean, it wasn't, you know, marquee schedule. You know, they found a way to beat Louisiana Tech. But the numbers just pop off the page. You watch the film and you're like, man, this guy is really, really explosive. And he is. And so, like, people are going to say, but Steve, he's an FIU guy. You know, and if you've heard me say it many times on the show, guys, I want the ascending player. I don't want the guy that's already played Power 5 football and proven that he doesn't belong here. I don't want that guy. You may want him. I don't want that guy. Steve, he was a four-star coming out of high school, and he spent 3 years at Auburn and has two sacks. I don't want that kid. We're not that smart. When we've got guys that are available to us that have played in our league and not been able to get production, they've been recruited over. So if they can't play at Auburn or Arkansas, why would they play here? Why do we think they'd play here? Well, you know, our roster doesn't matter. Give me the ascending player. That guy's going to play a lot harder for you, too. He's never experienced anything quite like this, right? Guys, looking at the numbers here, guys, against UTEP, he had 15 tackles. I mean, you think what a tackling machine that Isaac Smith and Stone Blanton were this year, and Stone really picked it up late. But now you add a guy like this, I can get behind that. I can get excited about that. And I think you should be too. Now, let's kind of look ahead to tomorrow. You know, we got a couple of kids that showed up on Thursday that'll wrap up their visits on Friday. And let me see if I can't grab these right here. I'm having to scroll down here because I initially thought about going to bed. I said, no, I got that tattoo appointment. Let me go ahead and get this show done. I'm looking here. But the message board's been so busy. Like, you got to get caught up quickly. You have to get caught up quickly with this stuff. Because if not, it'll get away from you pretty quick. For sure. But nevertheless, we're going to find it. I'll just Google here. I got it here. It's nuts. It is. And what's interesting, you know, I had somebody else tell me, you know, that, you know, you're looking through all these guys and you're like, hey, Jalen Smith, you know, we're getting ready to play in the playoffs. We'd like for you to play. Jalen Smith, a very highly coveted linebacker out of Grayson, Georgia. And so, you know, he's here, so we'll hopefully catch up with him later today, for sure. That's the hope anyway. And, you know, there's so many other guys out here too. We got to go out and get us some more wide receivers. And we knew we were going to be, you know, we knew Akari was moving on, and we felt like Craver probably was too. Many of you had that same suspicion right after he was suspended a second time. People are like, oh, I can't believe we would suspend him. He's just going to go get in the portal. We can never be held hostage by that kind of stuff. Ever. Ever. Can't do it. You can't be held hostage by all that stuff. Yeah, it's one of those things. I get so wound up with that kind of stuff. Like, you cannot compromise who you are, because then that becomes who you become. Like, you become a program that doesn't have discipline. Jerron Glover, the redshirt sophomore, got it. It's been banged up a lot. Missed about half the season this year. 6'1", 204 pounds, Sarasota, Florida native. So, you know, we expect to kind of catch up with him too and just kind of see what he thinks. And then some other guys are going to be showing up tomorrow, or Friday, excuse me, and we'll visit part of the weekend. Four guys from the Power Four. And, you know, we'll see. You're going to have to, you know, I'm going to have you guys go, you know, I'm not going to give all this stuff away today. But the big one is Isaiah Satania, wide receiver from Arkansas. And you got three others from Power Four programs too. So, you know, we're working. You know, the staff is working. And I think you're going to feel a little bit differently about things here in about a week. Now, many of you tuned in, you're like, hey, was he going to say anything about Jackson Arnold? I'll tell you, the news on Thursday was not nearly as positive. And to be honest with you, it's never been overly positive. It's always been, hey, he likes Jeff Lebby. He'd like to get back in the scheme, but he's going to take his visits. And as I've cautioned people every day on the message board, this is not done yet. It's not done yet. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, and again, we've got some people that still have kind of an old, antiquated view of recruiting. He's taken a visit to Auburn because they've agreed to meet his demands, right? And so Auburn's desperate for a quarterback. They're going to take two from the portal. And I was told earlier this year that they're willing to spend up to $2 million to get a quarterback. And if you look at it from, you know, Auburn's point of view, you know, it is not – the Hugh Freeze experience has not been great, right? And even our own fans were like, well, you know, Freeze will have Auburn rolling in no time. I think if you're Hugh Freeze, you got to put all your chips in the middle right now, because if you go 5-7 next year or 6-6 next year, you're getting fired, period. So he went 6-7 because they lost the ball game in 23 and then 5-7. That's not going to get it done next year. And so they're throwing around some mad money. Everybody in the industry is talking about it. They're throwing around a ton of money trying to get players. And so there's a lot of concern that Auburn is willing to meet the demands. And, you know, they think, well, at some point Hugh's going to turn this thing around. He just needed a quarterback. And so we'll see. And you notice, too, Auburn hadn't had a ton of kids hit the portal. And a lot of people will tell you it's because they love Hugh Freeze. I'm told it's because Auburn's doing a really good job with the retention bonus. You know, so we'll see how things play out. But if I had to call it today, I don't think Jackson Arnold's coming. Now, that understood, it's not over. We're still working hard to get him here, too. And so if he takes an official visit here, it is reasonable to assume that we have been able to reach a tentative agreement to be at or near his asking price, or he wouldn't take the visit. I don't think Jackson Arnold is just going to come take a visit to have lunch with Jeff Lebby. I just don't believe that. If he takes the visit, then I think it's one of those things, there's room for some renewed optimism. But again, some people tried to paint this like, oh yeah, it's a done. Even some people on my own message board, I'm not talking about my moderators or our staff. So people are like, oh yeah, it's done, it's done, it's done. And I don't know where that's coming from, because it's not coming from anybody intimately involved in these negotiations. It's not done yet. It's not close to being done yet. But if we get him to visit, then there's some renewed optimism. And if I'm Zach Selman, because I'm a firm believer in there's a difference between price and cost, right? So if you get in a situation like this with him, you think, well, you know, what's the ceiling, right? What's the most that we would be willing to spend? And we have money. Don't believe what other people tell you. We have money. We're willing to spend it. But let's just say, for an example, you get beat by $100,000, it could cost you millions. I mean, I think that's how important it is. Now, that's not to say that we couldn't find another quarterback that'll do a good job. And a lot of times people say, Steve, it feels a lot like the Dylan Gabriel thing. And here's what I would say, and I thought Colonel Kang made a good point here too. Dylan Gabriel went to a ready-made NCAA title contender at Oregon. Dylan Gabriel went into a situation where he became a Heisman candidate, right? So if Jackson Arnold goes to Auburn, he's going to a team that's had back-to-back losing years. So it's not the same scenario. Now, it's disappointing for us because this would be two quarterbacks of high regard in back-to-back years that knew Jeff Lebby well that elected to go elsewhere. But don't ever forget the 2-10 anchor, right? I mean, that's, you know, the evidence of a healthy program is winning games. Now, a name has popped up here recently that is expected to visit and could end up being your Bulldog. And that's Luke Kromanohoek. And we'll get a pronunciation guide there, too. It's Kromanohoek. We'll find out for sure. But true freshman quarterback, former five-star quarterback of Florida State. And you got to think, too, I mean, you know, Florida State's got to go out there and figure some things out, too. But, you know, Luke, this is a big-time guy. 6'4", 208 pounds. I'm told he's probably closer to 6'2". He was a 94 as a transfer. The number one, rated the number one quarterback in the transfer portal, not Jackson Arnold. Luke is. Kromanohoek. Played at Benedictine Military School in Savannah, Georgia. He was a 97 coming out of high school. Had everybody in the country on him. Everybody. And, you know, one of these things, too, where, you know, he makes his decision, rides at Florida State, Mike Norvell. And, but this is a guy, too, that has a connection to Jeff Lebby. And was an early enrollee this year at Florida State, and for one reason or another, has become disenfranchised with the situation there at Florida State. So now he is looking to kind of move forward, and Mississippi State could benefit. And so you say, Steve, he's not Jackson Arnold. You're absolutely correct. Jackson Arnold has a much bigger body of work. But basically, this is your replacement for Michael Van Buren. Michael Van Buren would have been a true sophomore next year. Luke would be a true sophomore at Mississippi State as well. And kind of looking at the numbers here, and listen, I know we're running a little bit long, and I'll upload this here. It's a little after 1 o'clock right now, but I'll get this up, and so you guys will be excited. I'll have the I'll write the story in the morning. I gotta get to bed here, but if I can find this here, let's see. Sometimes I wish it was, like, there's so much now on Google. I'm not going to chase that rabbit trail, but there's just so much out there on Google that it's just about their own monetization rather than the information that they used to give us. But, yeah, looking, this is a guy that, you know, played, you know, six games this year. You know, so he burned the red shirt. So he's a true sophomore. So maybe he comes in, gets a red shirt. But here's the thing that I would say now. There's really no value in getting a red shirt, because they could leave the next year, right? But he played at Duke, at Miami, played against UNC, played at Notre Dame, picked up a win against College of Charleston, or Charleston Southern, and then played against Florida. But, yeah, I mean, just kind of throwing to the wolves out there. And three touchdowns against two picks. You know, kind of similar to Michael Van Buren in that respect. And a bigger quarterback than Mike, but it kind of gets you back on track, balancing the quarterback room a little bit, because, you know, you don't want to be in a scenario where if something happens to Blake Shapen, who has been injury prone, I mean, let's just kind of call it for what it is, and you got to throw Kamario out there. You know, at least Luke has got a half dozen games of college snaps under his belt, and again, I think Kamario can help us next year, but I'd like for him to just play the four games. So that's a name that, and if I had to call it today, I would say Luke is more probable than Jackson. But this Jackson-Arnold thing has been very fluid in the last 48 hours. So I won't be surprised to find out, okay, Jackson's going to come in on Saturday. And then, you know, we'll get a decision one way or another. And if Jackson's like, hey, I want to be with Lebby again, I can turn this thing around, then Luke doesn't take the visit, right? Or Jackson doesn't come in and you take Luke and maybe you go ahead and lock that thing up there. And so either way, you got two five-star quarterbacks that you're kind of juggling right now. And so I just encourage people to be patient, take some time with it, take a deep breath, and let's not always just assume that the sky is falling. Because, you know, Jackson Arnold, you know, hey, you got to ask yourself, you know, what version of him are we to believe? He played exceptional against Alabama, primarily as a runner. And I thought he did much better when Seth Luttrell wasn't the play caller. You know, so you got to think some of his struggles early in the year can be attributed to maybe the offensive scheme or the play calling they were putting together. And I think Jackson Arnold may have missed Jeff Lebby. But the reality of it is, Mississippi State kind of moves forward, and so you begin to kind of think about, hey, you know, if Jackson Arnold comes in here, he's coming in to start, he'll have to compete against Blake Chapin to win that job. You know, and you start thinking, too, when he's got 2 years of eligibility left and Chapin has the one, you know, what's the better course of action? It's a good problem to have, right? So we're going to take a portal quarterback regardless. Could be Jackson Arnold, though I'm less optimistic about that than I have been at any point in this process. But it's not over. By any stretch of the imagination, it is not over. Mississippi State is still fighting here. You start looking at other options too, and all of a sudden, as this thing kind of began to unfold, that things with Jackson Arnold may not be quite the way we want them, all of a sudden you find out we're bringing Luke in for a visit. And sometimes that's kind of a hint and a half for you. Hey, if you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com, and you can order all of my sports titles there and When the Bottom Falls, my book of recovery. And if you order through the website, everything is signed, right? Or you can catch me at a book signing and get personalization. No personalization through the website. I just don't have time to get down there regularly and then to get the books out to you for Christmas. So that's all being taken care of. And again, buy one, get one free at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. It's great if you've got anxiety, chronic pain, or you just need a break. Dial 662-268-7601. And get in there and get a unique gift for yourself and perhaps somebody else. And maybe you know somebody that you just kind of need some time to themselves that could use a recharge, a mental reset. What a great gift for you to give them, right? And if you'd like a tour, come by. We'll give you a tour for free. That's True Rest Float Spa Starkville, right behind Starbucks on 12, just outside of campus. And then, of course, 50% off an annual subscription to Jeans page from now to the end of the month. Now's a great time to join so you can kind of stay abreast of everything that's going on in the world of Mississippi State sports. We'd love to have you come join us. And again, half off the annual subscription price, a gift that gives the entire year. All right, let's get out of here. You guys have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday. And you never know, we're going to have a chance to talk about on Monday. Of course, as you guys know, you know, some big ball games, right, in Tupelo. Make sure you turn out for that. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.